Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and with me, I am very excited and very delighted to introduce our leading lady today, someone that I'm getting to know quite well and is just a great resource for women, and she is award-winning in some things, but what I want you to know about Georgia Zachary, who is the president of the Women of AT&T for Southern California. Recently, Georgia was on the cover of our Women Lead magazine, and now she has been published in the Huffington Post. So, Georgia, wow, amazing. Please say hello to all of our listeners.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Michelle, for the introduction.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to talk about some fun things today, but, you know, our topic today is the power of passion, purpose, and perspective, which I know is kind of your passion, if I can say that, right?
Right.
I love it. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the Women of AT&T because my understanding is this is an internal employee resource group within AT&T. Everybody knows about AT&T, right? Ma Bell, the whole thing. Is how did this group start? What is the kind of purpose of the Women of AT&T? And, you know, the bigger one is my understanding is you have done some phenomenal things to grow this organization from 300 women to over 1,300 women. So we want to know what you're doing that works. But let's start with how you. What was the reason this group first started?
So Women of AT&T is actually a national organization, but it started here in California with 12 women who really want to make a difference and have give women the opportunity to have somewhere to run things by and, you know, what can we do? How can we help each other? So they formed a partnership, and then it just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. So actually, when I first took over our chapter, my mentor said, okay, I'm moving on to another job. I think that you would be amazing for it. And it was actually 30 members when I started instead of the 300.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's even more significant.
And it was actually in 2009 when I first took over as president. And I think the most important thing about growing an organization is engagement and making people really feel like they're valued. If people think that they don't have an input of what's going on, then why should they be a part of something? So we basically started a movement.
Yeah, that's good.
So we gave actually our members a voice. So I started hosting monthly member calls and just really figuring out what is it that people, one, needed help and assistance with or, you know, how we can really utilize or kind of work off of each other.
What did you find when you first started? What were the things that, you know, the employees and or the women of AT&T were really looking for? I mean, what was missing for them or what was the reason they were excited about being part of this, you know, employee resource group?
I mean, I think a lot of times women will think that they're not capable of doing something or they don't have all the tools necessary to actually apply for a job or get a job. So I think a lot of times women, we hold ourselves back. So we started doing power mentoring circles where we would just get in an actual circle around, you know, a desk and we would, you know, shoot things back and forth with each other and, you know, just really give people the opportunity to be heard and give them some resources and ways to actually be more successful.
I love it. I have a visual I want to share with you. So I'm thinking, here you are around a desk with 30 women. Let's try that with 1,300. What would that be like? I mean, that's like, that ain't going to happen. So that's amazing. That's where you started, was around a desk. And, you know, have women in AT&T, I mean, do you feel like at this point you can see some of the benefits and things of how the women of AT&T have prospered and flourished through association in the internal, you know, kind of group?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I think one thing is we try to do one big event a year. So we have our Women's Leadership Luncheon where we bring an AT&T executive to come out and speak with them. A lot of our members have never even met an AT&T executive, much less have them in a setting with them for a luncheon. So this past year, we actually had our senior vice president of HR, and she's also our chief diversity officer. She was our keynote speaker, and we had almost 400 women in attendance for a luncheon. So I think what's important is that if you put people in front of people, they see that vision, like, okay, if she can do it, you know, I can do it. So it actually gives them some hope.
And I'm curious what you feel. I mean, I know under your leadership, what do you feel are really the kind of central keys to success that have been so instrumental in growing the group from 30 people to over 1,300? Was it just listening to what people want, or what do you think is the real reason why it's so strong and so, you know, so valid now with 1,300 members?
I'm a little bit more hands-on, so I'm not going to ask my board to do something that I'm not willing to do. So I attend, if we do March Dimes walks, I'm out there walking. If we're cleaning up the beach, I'm cleaning up the beach. If we're, you know, going to schools and, you know, we're mentoring children, like I put on a big event where we brought students from Challengers Boys and Girls Club to actually see, like, a day to work at AT&T in our technology center. And, you know, it was amazing. We had almost 150 children here. And I was right there doing the tours. I was one of the tour guides. I don't sit back and say, okay, board, you know, you go ahead and, you know, you do it. I'm very hands-on. So whatever we do with our members, you know, I'm 90% of the time I try to attend.
I think that's pretty cool. Do as I do, not as I say. It's the whole opposite way to be to be
right,
a leader,
right,
isn't it?
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
The key is engagement. And if I'm not engaging, then the people won't engage.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I hear people who will talk about their internal programs or their organization that has a women's, let's just say, leadership program, or, you know, they have these peer groups or the, you know, employee resource groups. And some of the things they'll say is, you know, the company, and not yours, where I'm getting to is yours doesn't do this, is they say other companies will give lip service to the idea that they are interested in seeing women advance and lead, but you guys are actually doing something about it and you're seeing the results. And I was curious, for those listeners of ours that are throughout the U.S., what do you think, besides the luncheon, you know, and kind of these activities you're involved in, I mean, how it sounds like it's working, it's very successful. What would be some of the advice you would give to other organizations if they're thinking, gosh, we should start, which I would love because we're about women's advancement, is what would you maybe suggest to them in how to start up and actually be committed, not just give lip service to the idea that you have a women's initiative?
I think the biggest thing is development and giving people the opportunity to feel like they do have the support. So we have a mentoring program where we've enlisted, I think we have 50 mentors now, so they're vice presidents, senior vice presidents, directors, executive directors at AT&T, and we partner them with probably about 5 or 6 people just because we don't want to overwhelm them, but we give them the opportunity to say, do you want a face-to-face meeting? Do you want an over-the-phone meeting? Do you want, you know, to do lunch? I mean, so we give them kind of that leeway. And I think people feel like, wow, I really get the opportunity to let someone, you know, hear me and get development and, you know, hear what they did to be successful. I think that's a big thing, too, is, you know, AT&T is at 4. We have a lot of, you know, resources, but a lot of people some don't know about the resources that we have. We have tuition reimbursement. We have a great 401k program. We have a whole system. It's called AT&T University, where you can go and, if you want to be a project management person, you can get certified to be a project manager. And I think a lot of times, what we do is monthly, we will have one of those sessions. So we'll get a leader in that group to come and speak to our members so they can, one, hear, okay, how do I get my project management certification, or how do I apply for school, and what does tuition reimbursement look like, and what schools offer, you know, better discounts. So I would always say, you know, make it where you put your resources right in front of your members. So it gives them more of an opportunity to be successful.
Yeah, you know, and this is something that comes up too. It's like people will say, I mean, how do you go about to your organization to not just get, again, this is a lip service thing. It's like, okay, you know, the executive management team or the executive leadership of any organization will say, okay, nice, but you guys go do it. And yet what I think I'm hearing from you is that you have, you know, senior leadership engagement. You know, what is it that you're doing with your organization of the women of AT&T to get kind of that senior leadership engagement? I mean, I know they're coming to the luncheon. You mentioned that they're engaged in that, but how do you get them to support, you know, what you're doing? And are there any things activity-wise or engagement-wise that brings them in to be really committed to what you're trying to do to advance women through the women of AT&T?
So I would say Georgia. So I'm pretty persuasive.
Yes, you are. I will say that. All of our listeners need to know that about you. Georgia is very persuasive in a nice way.
Right. I always say that, you know, a lot of times just because someone is an executive or a senior leader that they're untouchable. So I talk and speak and I'll add a meeting on your calendar. That doesn't bother me, you know, at all. And I think once people kind of realize they need us as much as we need them. So senior leaders can't be successful unless they have employees under them that are developed, one, confident, you know, knows what they're doing, not afraid to come or apply for a job. So what's happened is that we've built a bond with a lot of our senior leaders. When they're looking for or they're recruiting for jobs, they come to us looking for people.
Oh, that's the best thing of all, right?
Right.
With the mentoring program, do you find that, is this a long-term? Can you give us a little more details for our listeners' benefit of, you know, how is the mentoring program structured? Do you do any sort of, like, you know, crafty way that you match mentees and mentors? I mean, is there a process to it, or is it people kind of get matched randomly? What's your process like for mentor matching?
So what we do is we send just an email out to our members, and it's simple. It's four questions. So it's actually it's five questions, I think. But you just ask, okay, so here are the people that have signed up to be mentors. So you get to pick three people, so your top three people. And then once you pick your top three people, then we kind of go around, and I don't know how they do that kind of behind the scenes. I'm actually not involved with that, but so if you say, I want to get Tanya to be my mentor, and Tanya is your first choice, and it's first come, first serve, so now we're only holding like six or seven people per mentor. So if Tanya is the person that you want, and, okay, so Georgia picked Tanya, and that was my first choice, then if I'm first, because it's first come, first choice, then I get Tanya as my mentor. And it just kind of goes around by how people respond and kind of all that good stuff. But it's giving people a choice of who they want, because I don't know, you know, who you may want or who you would want to consider as your mentor. So we give them three choices to pick, and usually people will get who they choose or who they would like.
That's great. How formal, you know, is the leadership of the women of AT&T? I mean, I know it sounds like, if I'm getting this right, you are the obviously anchor and the whole you know, wheel that makes things work and the spoke. Do you have a whole leadership team? I mean, is there a lot of committees or a lot of people, you know, involved in running different things and leading that part of it? Or is it you as the one person and you know, you kind of, it sounds like this is a full-time gig for you. I'm like, how do you do your regular job on top of the Women of AT&T is what I want to
know.
Yeah,
actually, I have 11 board members. So my board members are assigned different duties. So I have a secretary, I have a communications VP, I have a membership committee VP, I have a community events, and I have a mentoring. So I have 11 board members, and they all have specific items and things that, you know, they're responsible for doing. And I just kind of, you know, oversee and make sure those things are getting done.
Wow. And where, you know, I mean, I want to spend a little time on you as well for this power, purpose, and passion. You know, when you look at the future of AT&T, do you, what are kind of like the BHAGs, the big, hairy, audacious goals that are for the Women of AT&T? I mean, you're at 1,300 members now. What are, what do you feel in the next year or two or three that you really hope to, besides increasing the membership, what are some big plans that you have to increase, you know, the kind of stature and relevance of the Women of AT&T? Any big goals that you want to share with our listeners?
I think what's important is having fun. So if you're having fun and you're incorporating that into the things that you do, the membership will grow because people like to be involved with things where they can have a good time. You know, I tell people all the time, okay, we have very stressful jobs. We're busy kind of all day. So our volunteer opportunities, we give our members, you know, a place where they can go and have a good time. So I'm an avid networker. I always try, you know, to meet people, talk about their nonprofits, their organizations that they're involved with, and see, you know, if there's a match kind of for Women of AT&T, and always try to incorporate, you know, okay, we can come, we can volunteer, we can help you. These are things that we do. And, you know, we have our, okay, professional women leadership luncheon every year in March, but we also have a fun event every year. So last year we did an all-white fundraising on water boat party, which was, you know, a blast. I can't go anywhere now without people asking me, oh, my God, when are we doing another boat party? So when you talked earlier about how do we get our senior leaders kind of engaged and involved, we're actually going to do a picnic next month, and we're kidnapping one of our general managers in mobility, and people actually have to pay to get him out of jail. If they want to do a mentoring time with him, they have to pay, and it helps raise money for our scholarship fund.
Yeah, okay, I just want to make sure you know this is a radio show, right? You just said that you're kidnapping somebody. Hopefully they don't know or they won't find out. We don't want to.
No. He knows. He knows.
So
we have the wanted signs all around, and, you know, he's very engaged and, you know, wanting to help us be successful.
That is so cool. You know, you got to have fun with the seriousness of business. Yeah, I totally agree. You know, for our listeners, because obviously you have very much passion and purpose and perspective here on what you're trying to do with the Women of AT&T, but I think probably a lot of our listeners would go, okay, Georgia, what makes you tick? I mean, how do we find somebody like you in our organization that would just take on such a big, you know, big program and then make it so successful? You know, for you, it's like, well, how are you wired? What makes you you, girl? Because I know you love to network. And you were just an absolute delight. And for those of you that are our listeners that don't know, I mean, Georgia, you give back all over the place, you know, and I've known of you for a long time, and you were our keynote speaker at our Women of Influence Awards and on the cover of our magazine. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to check out the CWI website to see your magazine article and in the Huffington Post. But what, you know, when you think about you and, you know, like how you roll and why you're so successful, other than networking and giving back, what do you think have been your keys to success?
I mean, my passion is helping others. So I feel that I'm blessed. So I get my blessings. So anytime I have the opportunity where I can help someone, I'm willing to do, you know, whatever it takes to help someone. And I think once you get your members, your employees engaged, you will be surprised to see the talent, the things that they can do, what they are willing to do. People sit around and they work all day and they want to help, but sometimes people don't come to them. And I'm really good at, you can come to me and we could be talking and something will come up and I'll hear something. I'm like, oh, perfect. We need you to help us, you know, with that. I was at an event and Susan G. Coleman, one of their chairs, I was speaking with her, and I said, oh, we would love to have the Susan G. Coleman. Don't you guys have a mammogram RV that could come out? We can partner with a nonprofit.
Yeah.
We have some new mammograms. So they're coming September 13th to our El Segundo location. So that's what I'm saying. Things
wow.
like that is when I'm out, I'm always looking for ways where, one, women of AT&T can benefit, and, two, the community can benefit.
You know, and this gets into, too, you. I mean, one of the things that I know people will say about women's advancement is they'll say, you know, get involved, take on the leadership role within your organization as a volunteer. I mean, get involved in some of these employee resource groups. And for you, it's like, how has really the women of AT&T internally, with what you've done to build this, how has it benefited your career? Is it the visibility? Do you feel like there's been, you know, some really kind of nice stripes for you that you found by being such a leader within your organization?
I would definitely say that everyone knows me. So it's definitely
yeah,
given
not,
me.
Yeah, not doubting that. Yeah.
So it's definitely given me the visibility, but I also think that they kind of see my leadership where, you know, when you're hands-on and you're doing things and you're bringing things to the organization, people see that. People talk about it like, oh, I heard about women of AT&T. I need to join. I need to be a member.
Mm.
What can I do to help? So I'm, you know, I get more and more of that. And it's usually once we do an event, we get more members right after. So it's like people go to the event, and it may be their first time, and then when they come back, they talk about the event that they went to, and then they encourage their peers or their coworkers to join, so then it grows from there.
And besides your annual leadership luncheon, do you do other types of kind of training or, you know, things within the organization on a regular basis?
We do. We have our, we bring schools in to come in and speak. So we have sometimes like career day or school days. We have a financial workshop that we do every year to talk about, you know, AT&T and where we are in the business and how are our stocks doing and how to invest. So we do that every year. So we try to do the overall picture for our employees. Our members, okay, here you have career opportunities. Here you have your financial opportunities. Here you have your development opportunities. Here you have professional things you can do. Here you have, you know, fun stuff to do. Here you have community stuff. And then we partner with other ERGs within AT&T. So we actually have 12 employee resource groups, but Women of AT&T is actually the largest.
Oh, wow, that's kind of cool. I didn't know that. You know, I mean, this gets into kind of an opinion from you, but, you know, since you're interacting with women all the time and, you know, you hear kind of like what they want and what they're looking for and their engagement within the women of AT&T, I mean, what are one or two things that you see, you know, from your perspective in running the organization and interacting with so many women, especially on the mentoring side and with leadership, what would be maybe one or two things that you see that women do that, you know, just don't hit the mark for advancement? I mean, are there two things that you feel you could share with our listeners that say, look, if you're a woman, do these two things, and it will start to kind of help your career advancement?
One is, you know, make sure that you have your education, your training, your skills, all that stuff is up to date. And then I would say definitely know the difference between a mentor and a sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, I would say get a sponsor as soon as possible. And if you don't know the difference between a mentor and a mentor is someone that you kind of, okay, talk to. That's like the beginning stages. Okay, this is what I want to do. Here's my resume. Can you look at it? What do you suggest I do? Where a sponsor is actually someone that's pulling you. Okay, here I have this job coming up. I want to get you, prepare you for it, or this is the things that you need to do. So there's definitely a difference between a mentor and a sponsor.
Good. I got it. I think I've heard the word advocate as well used.
Yes,
but I like
definitely.
That. And so in your mentoring program, then do the mentoring relationships kind of evolve into more of a sponsor relationship, or is that something that just it's kind of hit and miss? I was curious. Do you find that that happens, that they turn into more sponsor type relationships?
You know, it's kind of hit and miss. It depends on the person. It depends on the sponsor, because you're not going to be a fit with everyone. So you
right.
have to take the time to look at people. You have to interview them just like they're interviewing you. And if you don't feel, you know, that it's a good match, or if you don't feel that it's someone that wants to be, you know, your sponsor, or if there's things that you still need to do to develop yourself, then by all means do those things. And then, you know, reach out for a sponsor. I wouldn't walk up to someone and say, oh, can you be my sponsor? I mean, it doesn't work like that. It has to be a chemistry between you and that person. It has to be some type of trust built up. They have to feel like you've proven yourself to them, and then they will be willing to do that.
Right. And did you ever have a mentor? I mean, can you equate your career to having some really key mentors? Or
I have a couple of mentors. I always, I think, keep mentors. I have a couple, you know, of sponsors. And there's some people that you call for certain things, and there's some people that you call for other things. I don't call everyone every time, you know, I'm doing something. I think what's important is that you have the support, but you also have the right support.
That's the most fascinating perspective, because I don't think one mentor is a one-size-fits-all, right? And you're alluding to the fact that you have different sponsors or mentors for different things. And I know for me in my banking career, those were the kind of relationships I had. It was like I had one mentor, and these were men, unfortunately, not women, that, you know, were very instrumental in certain things. But then I had a different person that it's like I really got, different tools and techniques for. So I think that's a good message. You know, there's not a one-size-fits-all or one person fits the role of a mentor. You could have multiple ones, right?
Right, right. And I would
say,
you know, don't waste someone's time, because that's the worst thing that you can do. So if you have a mentor, I mean, we're all busy. So if you're able to get time on someone's calendar, or you're able to do a face-to-face meeting with someone, please, please be prepared. So what Georgia does is Georgia will go to those mentors and say, oh, how's the program going? How are things going? Is there anything we can improve on? Is there anything, you know, that we can do differently? Are our members, you know, being responsible? Are they, you know, giving you, you know, what you need? Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? Because if I don't want to waste their time, so if our members are wasting their time, I'm definitely going to say something. You know, they wouldn't tell me, okay, this person is not, but, you know, I would have those conversations when we do our member calls, and I just say, you know, the same thing I just said about really being prepared when you go into a mentoring meeting, because we're all busy.
You know, that such great advice. You know, and I can't believe we're almost out of time. So one question I've got
already?
For you. I know, right? Let's keep talking. We'll just keep going on. I'm sorry, y'all. We're going to hang up here in a minute. But one thing I would love our listeners to know, if anybody's interested in, you know, finding out more about the Women of AT&T, or they may have questions, would you mind sharing how you'd like people to contact you if they want to, you know, connect or find out more about the programs at AT&T?
Our actual Women of AT&T website is internal, but we do have a Women of AT&T Twitter page, so you can send us stuff there. I'm actually on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I don't really monitor a whole lot of that stuff, but probably Facebook would be the best way to connect with me. But
and the
Women
Facebook
of AT&T
is
not just
so
Georgia
Facebook
Zachary.
Page would be Georgia Zachary, okay, to connect
yes.
with you personally. That's cool. I love it.
Yes.
So to our listeners, if you want to know how these internal initiative programs work well, Georgia is the person to talk to. And Georgia, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for you being on our show today. You are a lovely leading lady. You definitely lead with power, passion, purpose, and perspective, which is amazing. To all of our listeners, as you know, we're here every single Friday. We're here on Mondays at 9 a.m. with the live show, and Fridays at 2 p.m. And next week, I'm delighted to say, for Women Lead Radio, our show leading lady is going to be Cookie Walden. She is the founder and wealth manager of Walden Wealth Management. And Cookie was our recipient and award winner of the Connected Woman of Influence Award for 2016. And she is going to talk about what all of us want to know for our future. That is how to invest wisely and look beyond wealth itself. So from all of us here at Women Lead Radio, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Michelle.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.